The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. As we head into hour two, Doug, I'm glad you're still there. I'm going to come back to you in a moment. I want to reset this point I was working on in the last segment of the last hour, which is dispiriting and interesting that this new NBC poll shows interest in this year's election at an all-time low over several election cycles. With everything going on in the world, everything going on in this country, everything going on with the world in relationship to this country, there is less interest, according to this new NBC poll, in the election or its outcome than there has been in several previous elections, the past five or six presidential elections. And my thesis is that it's because there's dissatisfaction with the leading candidates, the presumptive Democratic nominee and the presumptive Republican nominee. That's my best guess. The comedians have done their work. The journalists have done their job. And the imagery is in sharp relief. And what it tells me is that we are a very personality-driven country at the time we can least afford to be personality-driven. A lot can be said about Joe Biden's personality. Most of us who have known him or worked with him over the years know that, you know, this is a man who comes off as a soft touch in public and behind the scenes is ruthless. And sometimes the behind gets caught on camera, like when he's in a campaign where he says things like Mitt Romney's going to put you all in chains, as he said to a black male audience. Sometimes it comes out now in his senescence when a reporter asks him a follow-up question and he says, you aren't in the right place, pal, or don't jump. Something bitter and angry, some of that inner nature comes out. With Donald Trump, what you see, I think, is pretty much what you get. Not everyone likes it. And I get that, too. There is a certain New York or Queens brashness that not everyone likes. Okay, fine. But look at the stakes. Look at the stakes. What I will hear often from people is, well, you can't have a congenital liar leading your party. Okay, which one's the congenital liar? When's the last time Joe Biden said anything truthful about the economy, about the border, or about his own, you know, his own biography or his family's biography? When's the last time he said, but they won't score him on any of this stuff? When's the last time he stayed true to his principles? He said he ran for president because of the twisted and vein-bulging faces of the anti-Semites in Charlottesville. Well, we have that on hyperspeed to the factor of 10 right now, and he can't say a word about it. He put out a mealy-mouthed press release over the weekend under the name of his deputy director of communications. Couldn't even get director of communications on it. And then today says something equally mealy-mouthed in a Passover statement that was published, but not verbally articulated. When's the last time he said anything truthful? The lies, and there have been, that Donald Trump is accused of telling are inconsequential to life in this country or abroad. They're inconsequential. They're not lies about the conditions of this country. They're lies of no honor, but they're lies of no significance either. The lies that you get from the Democrats have major public policy implications, which is why it's so awkward to
to have his staff correct the record all the time. All the time. On almost every public policy pronouncement he makes, it's in an imaginary set of facts in his head. And you don't usually have this situation. You've seen it from Ukraine to the border to the economy, to his uncle being eaten by cannibals. I think he's confusing the story. By the way, has anyone pointed this out? This is what happened to Nelson Rockefeller's son. I wonder if he's thinking about that. This is a story about Nelson Rockefeller's son. It's not a story about a Biden. I wonder if he's conflated that. In any event, it was in the 60s, a long time ago. But the point I was trying to make was, you know, so what if you don't believe the narrative? So what if you don't believe the narrative over a lost election? So what? What is the worst that can happen? You get more election integrity? How does it pick my pocket or break my leg? I'll tell you how much it picks my pocket and breaks my leg. When Hillary Clinton was denying the outcome of the 2016 election, when Nancy Pelosi was denying the outcome of the 2016 election, when Jimmy Carter, then not senescent, was denying the outcome of the 2016 election, it was sore loserdom. It was unstatesmanlike. It was routine and continual. And it really didn't matter, did it? It didn't matter. We chugged along and we had a world at peace and a country of economic growth. That's what we had with those outside carpers of lies, carpers and carping of lies. Speaking of Carper, I'm going to go to you in a minute, Doug. Speaking of Carper, Alex Karp, you know who he is? A billionaire, liberal left-wing billionaire, who, philanthropist, has given a lot of money to the universities, as so many have, who thought they knew what liberalism was. You know, they thought liberalism was supporting democratic institutions, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, minority rights. That's what they thought liberalism was. They didn't think it was the endowment of terrorist rhetoric to take us back to the times of the medieval. Alex Karp today says, you're sitting at your elite schools pretending that because you watched TikTok twice and got an A+ on some stupid paper because your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else, that you actually understand the world. I love that. I love that. He'll probably be pulling his money from some of these universities. You're sitting at your elite school pretending that because you watched TikTok twice and got an A+ on some crazy paper and your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else, that you actually understand the world. These students, either they do understand the world or they don't. I don't know. Either they do or they don't. If they do, so much the worse, because they're actively supporting terrorist institutions and calls for genocide as they try to denounce a faux genocide. That's that crime. If they don't know what they're marching for, that's its own problem. Because I can guarantee you every one of them who believes in the lifestyle that they live and lead would be dead within a minute if they got the wish of the outcome for that which they are protesting. All right, that's a lot to unload on. Doug, go ahead, clean me up.
It's a lot, but it's all good. You know, this is what happens when Victor Davis Hanson says that it's the therapeutic society, where people are focusing more on how they feel, and they're, and I mean this very kindly, but if you're trying to feel more humble or more kind, or you're trying to feel more like you're in touch with the feminine side or whatever, versus the cold hard facts. The cold hard facts are a little tougher. And let's look about this. When you know, General Flynn was one of a very soft spoken, because everybody's upset with Trump because he's too frank and too New York, which is interesting because he's the same Trump that everybody adored for 40 years and won awards from the Rainbow Coalition and everything else. Yeah, it was just typical New York, but he did a lot of good. And now he's just too not soft-spoken. Okay, General Flynn, very soft-spoken, very mild-mannered, one of the top generals we've had in generations, all right? He did a report under the Trump administration looking into the private contractors in the military, you know, industrial complex. And bam, within weeks of that coming out, he was actually threatened and told not to release that report. And all of a sudden, everybody turned against him and the whole bureaucracy turned on him because he was upsetting the apple cart. Why does that matter? Because your illusion of sweetness and kindness will not stop evil.
And we live in illusions. We live in illusions. This was the thesis of Daniel Boorstin in a book he wrote in 1965 called The Image. And it's a bad thing to live in an illusion. An illusion is not reality. It's scary. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. Liberal billionaire and philanthropist Alex Karp, today you are sitting at your elite school pretending that because you watched TikTok twice and got an A-plus on some crazy paper because your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else that you actually understand the world. I was thinking about Columbia. And there's some great video, if you're on Twix, that you can see of journalists going to these professors, all these professors at Columbia standing with the protesters in unity with the protesting students. And the reporters asking them questions, the professors questions they cannot answer and will not answer. Those that will not, so brave of them, those that cannot, so illustrative of the modern university. You think of Columbia University and the giants that used to walk and teach there. You think of, the Van Dorens. You think, oh my gosh, so many. This is such an unbelievable fall on the university. A fall from grace, a fall from excellence, a defining of intelligence down. Now let me tell you about the students. I asked in the previous segment, do they know what they're chanting and marching for, or do they not? Are they just there because, you know, they're generally taught to be anti-Western? Let me tell you how at once dangerous and risible this all is. If you follow Kurt Schlichter, many of you know Kurt Schlichter. He posted a video of, I don't know, about 10 students in keffiyehs, you know, Arabic headdress, protesters against Israel, protesters on behalf of Gaza and Hamas, doing a twerk dance. Is this going to happen at a protest? After a while, it becomes a party, or it becomes a moment of exasperation and relief. You've seen it. I'm not going to, you know, dances take place sometimes. But they're doing this wild dance. Guess what the loudspeakers are playing? That these people in keffiyehs are dancing and twerking to. An Israeli song called Am Yisrael, which means the people Israel live. It's a Hebrew song. It's a quasi-national anthem of Israel set to modern rock music that they're dancing. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. They're idiots. I'm concluding they're idiots who Karp is right about. They think because they've watched TikTok twice and they are taught by professors who couldn't get jobs anywhere else that they actually understand the world. They don't even understand any part of the language. They're dancing to
Israeli music sung in Hebrew about the victory of Jewish people. That's what they're dancing to. Well, God love them, I suppose. God love them. But they're surrendering as they speak, at least morally. And if not surrendering, they're at least melding their hand. If they don't know anything and can't justify that which they are standing for or doing, why do we invest in them any moral credibility at all? Why do we do this at all? I cut a commentary for Town Hall. It'll probably air across most platforms tomorrow. With all the convulsions at our campuses on behalf of Hamas, an officially designated terrorist organization, one asks what these students are being taught. The protesters and rioters, after all, are marching and rioting against one of the most classically liberal entities in the world on behalf of a society of the medieval that kills those who identify as LGBTQ, bans abortion in ways that the New York Times typically likes to excoriate, bans religious pluralism, even atheism, and oppresses women. They're marching on behalf of movements that are the least enlightened in the history of the world. Meanwhile, the administration in Washington, like the administration at most of these campuses, if I may borrow from the political philosopher Leo Strauss, are listening and paying tribute to the least wise and least moderate parts of this nation, while this nation is in its least wise and least moderate mood, while at the same time praising wisdom and moderation. I sometimes think, I thought about this the other day, I drove by some protesters the other day, will those waving those flags and supporting Hamas today look back and someday ask, what was I thinking? When they do become educated about what's being done? The way those who supported Germany in the 1930s ultimately did, or the way those who supported the Soviets in the 1940s and 1950s did? Well, let us hope and pray. The stakes are that high. I hope we have enough reason, wisdom, and moderation to get us there. Hillary Clinton. How much does Trump exaggerate? Tune into any television show, any news commentary show, any Sunday editorial roundup. Bill Maher. You hear that Donald Trump is a huge exaggerator. If not liar, he's an exaggerator. And he exaggerates about his opponents and his own success. Here's Hillary Clinton on a podcast this morning, hosted by Mark Elias, a famous Democratic Party election attorney. She says Trump was like, you know, just gaga over Putin because Putin does what Trump would like to do. Kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance. That's what Trump really wants. And so we have to be very conscious of how he sees the world, because in that world he only sees strong men leaders. He sees Putin, he sees Xi, he sees Kim Jong-un. These are the people he is modeling himself after, and we've been down this road in world history. We sure don't want to go down it again. Trump wants to kill his opposition? Trump wants to kill his opposition. He was gaga over Putin. Did he go with a reset button, an artificially manufactured reset button, to Vladimir Putin and say we'd like to reset our relations and get back to normal and stop being opponents? Oh, no. No, no, no. That was Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Joe Biden was asked today whether he condemns the protests. This is interesting. It's just after, looks like Camp David, it's just after he was walking and being led by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez hand in hand. She was holding his hand. And I don't know if the audio can come through, but he's in sunglasses, smiling, just smiling, as these, I think, tender and important questions are being asked of him.
And the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that.
I've set up a program to deal with that. Does anyone know what program he set up to deal with anti-Semitic protests?
I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
So we have good people on both sides now.
And they're being...
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Should the Columbia University president resign? You heard that clearly.
Right this way, this way.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about that. This is the person in charge of the most powerful country in the earth as it's becoming less powerful and as the international community turns its lonely eyes to us, to borrow from Simon and Garfunkel. It turns its lonely eyes to us with a man whose eyes are empty stares, with a permanent fixed smile, who thinks it's funny to say things like "don't jump" to a reporter who asks him about his relationship with President Xi in China, who a week ago said he's doing his level best to keep Israel from invading Haifa, one of the major cities of Israel that anyone who's toured Israel has spent a lot of time in, one of the most civilian areas of Israel. This is scary and sad at the same time. I mean, clearly someone's keeping the motor running at 1600 Pennsylvania. Clearly someone is. But the Democrats are willing to go along with this charade because of their hatred for all things conservative, Republican, and Trump. And a lot of people don't like Trump and are saying, yeah, I don't know, man, he's a lousy man and a liar. Okay, but you have a controlled experiment. And I don't know the politician who hasn't lied. I'm not justifying it. But whose lies are worse? He brought inflation down? The economy's doing well? He brought manufacturing back to America? The border is secure? Do those lies matter? Or are we obsessed over the fact that someone thinks he won an election? Because if that's the lie, then that's the same lie Jimmy Carter, Hillary Clinton, and Nancy Pelosi, along with a ton of Democrats like Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, have been peddling since 2016. And people seem not to have any problem with that. So that lie just can't be that bad, can it? If it's the same lie Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton tell, why is it bad when Donald Trump tells it? Well, there was violence over Donald Trump's lie. Okay. Okay. There was. It was awful. Now go back and tell me about the violence in Washington, D.C. during Donald Trump's inaugural. Do you know about that violence? I've quoted from the AP report on it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. No one seems to care about it. Cops went to hospitals over that violence. No one called for the blowing up of the White House or the assassination of the president on January 6th. I have plays of Shakespeare in the Park. I have actors who have won Oscars. I have singers who have won Grammys who call for the assassination of Donald Trump. Don't talk to me about violence.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Anyone who grew up here knows that that was the Channel 12 News theme song, Children of Sanchez. This segment, the only people other than myself who can talk have to be named Tim. So on hold is our good friend Tim in Peoria, who I will get to in just a moment. But Tim Andrews was walking by. He's the head of sales around these parts. And I saw him through the double glass walking out the door and then looking this way and doing a 180 and coming in. And I know exactly what you were thinking. You were thinking, I could go to the bathroom and wash up and splash my face, or
go talk to Seth.
I can go say hi to Seth. And I saw that work itself out.
It's amazing. You're so intuitive.
I am. I'm good that way.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are, back from a successful day where we had some kind of golf event with our sister station.
Yes, it was called the Pastor's Masters.
And young David was integral to that event.
Young David did a phenomenal job. The whole team did a phenomenal job. And we had a wonderful turnout. And it was 18 holes of nothing but nail-biting excitement.
I'm a little concerned about David's clothing, his wear, his sartorial his sartorial demeanor.
Yeah.
He prides himself on knowing clothes.
He does.
He's dressed like a lumberjack.
He is.
This has nothing to do with lumberjacking.
It had nothing to do with lumberjacking. I was a little perplexed with his clothing choice today, but I let it slide.
Yeah.
But he did have a corncob pipe in.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Of course he did. Nothing appropriate for the golf course.
Nothing. Nothing.
Corncob pipe.
I sat on the $10,000 hole-in-one shot hole.
Did anyone do it?
There was a young man who hit a beautiful fade underneath the wind, and it came down within 6 feet of the cup.
Oh, mystify that much, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's always good to see you, and I appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else, or should I go to the other Tim? Would you like to stay for the other Tim? He's really one of our favorite people. Let's say hi to Tim in Peoria. Hi, Tim in Peoria.
Seth Leibson, how are you, sir? Tim in sales, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Good to hear from you.
Perfect. Us Tims have to stick together.
Timothy.
Oh, now you sound like, well,
that's my biblical name.
Side of my family. Yes.
Yes. That's my mothers in trouble
and,
name.
Mothers and nanas. Yes. Mothers and nanas use that biblical name, I believe.
Your biblical names are three syllables. My biblical name is one. You can't really do much with Seth. It's
right.
Just that's it. Yeah.
I can put a Y at the end of it like we do up in North.
Yeah, but that would not be what two guys should be doing.
You don't want that. You don't want that.
No, I do not. Go ahead, Tim. What's on your mind today?
You know, I wasn't able to follow up with you last week, but then you brought in when AOC was leading Uncle Joe wherever she was leading him.
Yeah, by the hand.
It brings back, you know, what I was talking about last week. I know we didn't have time, that weakness invites provocation.
Yeah.
And we continue to talk about it. And, you know, Joe Biden is always talking peace, 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 because he doesn't want war. And to quote Trotsky, what does he say? You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you.
Yeah.
And I believe the last application of that quote was leveled on Barack Obama soon, maybe halfway into his first term in office. And I think it was brought in by somebody in the Republican Party. I can't remember. But talking about Donald Rumsfeld, I dug back up the memoir, and I'm back into it. In fact, my whole family knows about it.
Isn't it so good? Such a good memoir.
Yeah. Yeah, she warned all the children that Dad has one of his books, and he's got his highlighter out again.
Oh, I know how that goes. Yeah, I've been doing that with a couple of books myself.
Well, that's why I buy a lot of my my books used, because I think that most of the people that read the same books I like to read are going to do what I do, and I find it to be, I guess, time.
You like their highlights. You're highlight cheating.
I do.
You're highlight cheating. I mean, it's a smart move. If someone else is interested in this book, they're probably interested for the same reasons I am. Thus, they think the same way I do. Thus, they will probably isolate the same sentences I isolate. Thus, I don't have to highlight myself. You got pre-highlighted books.
I do. It's like, if I can get the Cliff Notes version to Rumsfeld's memoir, I might buy it because that is a very long read, right?
Yeah.
But it is fascinating nonetheless. But I was sitting reading the book away from home on Saturday, and a stranger walked by and just said, "You're reading up on a fascist, I see."
Yes.
And, I kind of nodded my head and I said, "Well, if you can define fascists, I'll have a conversation with you." And he blank stare, three-year-old, 1,000-yard stare, when a three-year-old doesn't understand what an adult's saying. And walked away and shook his head as if I was at fault.
Yeah, I think he's a professor of endowed philosophy at Columbia University.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing also, people talking about our opinion of Joe Biden, how simple he is. And, someone had mentioned, well, the same was said about Reagan. And I said, I wanted them to expand on it. And they talked about how simplistic he was. And I said, well, give me an example. And, of course, he couldn't because then he went into that Reagan was dumb and that he wasn't qualified. And I said, well, Reagan once said, and of course, that when it came to national policy, when it comes to national defense, his position was very simplistic. And that was America wins, the others lose.
Yeah.
And how fascinating that was, because although simplistic, it was it was very complex.
It was revolutionary in thought, really.
Yeah, I highlighted
it. It was the beginning
that,
of the end of the containment doctrine. Yeah,
yeah. Right. I got it out of Rumsfeld's book, and I said, "Oh man, I remember those days when everybody was bad mouthed." Because I was a teenager when Reagan was president, and it brought me back to October 23rd. From Beirut, my father was in Beirut, deployed there from Germany, and after everything settled and we got the call that all was okay. I just remember that's where that was my starting point on paying attention to government.
Yeah.
Going into seventh grade. But in any event, we need to think about what our footprint is nationally or internationally. It is a footprint of weakness.
Yep.
And, there's more than enough examples right now. We've handed Saudi Arabia over to China. We've walked them into China's arms. Because we abandoned the Abraham Accord because we don't want peace in the Middle East. Israel was bringing peace to Saudi Arabia and actually vice versa, or at least discussing things. And that doesn't exist anymore. It's unfortunate.
Well, you're such a good student and teacher and soldier, Tim. Thank you. You opened with a reference to the Bible, or the other Tim did. I'll close the call with another one in respect of peace. Shalom, shalom, ba'in, shalom, Jeremiah. Peace, peace, but there is no peace, right? Our country was founded on that notion, too, from someone named Tom Paine. You know that. People talk peace. They have no idea what it means. They talk fascism. They have no idea what it means. People speaking without talking. We'll be right back.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night, I work all day.
He's a lumberjack.
Are we on air with this? This is Young David's new theme song, I'm a Lumberjack. He looks like the guy in the Lumberjack song. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at Y-Refi. I have a little... feeling a little bit like Johnny Carson here, trying to stifle myself when I have an important read to do. Y-Refi, we love them. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YREFI-24. They have a secure investment in a collateralized portfolio. It actually helps people, and you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. You are in control. You can turn your income on or off, compound it whatever you like. There are absolutely no fees, and there is no attack on principal if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. Check them out. at YRefi, investYRefi.com, or 888-YRefi24, 888-YRefi24. They're headquartered here in Phoenix. You can also visit them in person. You won't get a sales pitch. You won't be asked to sign a thing. If you don't, it's investYRefi.com. Yes, young David, it's good to see you in all your green and red.
I feel personally attacked by what we just came into the segment with.
Described, not attacked. Described.
Personally described?
Yeah, just described. Not attacked.
I feel attacked. You described my outfit,
well,
but I feel
you.
Attacked.
I mean, you know, if you call a criminal, it's just descriptive. It's not.
I don't think there's any problem with wearing a plaid shirt to go golfing.
Said no golfer ever.
I don't know. I bet you I could go find some
the green undershirt
plaid. Plaid shirt. And
this isn't Flagstaff.
Pictures of
maybe if you were
Arnold Palmer.
Maybe if you were golfing in Flagstaff.
I bet you Bob Hope wore plaid shirts at one point or
you
another.
Find it for me.
I'll
and
find
buy you
it.
Lunch.
I'll find it.
Find Bob Hope in a plaid shirt on a golf course, and I'll buy you lunch.
Oh yeah.
Any famous golfer in a plaid shirt on a golf course, and I'll buy you lunch. Or any president.
Any president?
Yeah.
Oh, we are going to be searching history
yes,
right now.
Searching in vain.
Oh, no.
It's good to see you, man. I understand you had a great event. Good
yes, time. Yes. I was conducting our Pastor's Masters on our sister station, Faith Talk 1360 and 1010.
Nice. Well, thanks for doing it. Thanks for uplifting the community, and thanks for all you do. It's good to have your voice on air, even if for a moment.
Yes, I'm glad to be here, though I'm a little worried about what was said before I arrived at the station and what may be said while I'm still here.
Well, if only there were a way for you to hear what was said. As everyone knows, every portion of this show can be heard for free at 960thepatriot.com. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.